Good morning. Today's daf in Chulin is daf Ches. There's a lot going on today, so let's get started. We did yesterday daf Zayin. We finished daf Zayin. Look at that. And daf Zayin is really a unit of itself. It's a galata about the Chamor Pinchas Ben Yair, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protective of his tzaddikim, make sure that they wouldn't eat treif even by accident. Today, the Gemara just throws us right back into the world of halacha, and so let's get underway. The Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Shmuel, Li Bein Sakim V'Shacha Bashchita Sekshera, Achiduda Kon Livuna. Okay, so first two lines of today's daf is dedicated to a halacha. Now, the halacha goes like this. First of all, we all know that the basic act of Shkita requires you to take a knife and to cut through the two pipes that you encounter at the front of the neck. Right, so the first thing is the trachea, then there's the esophagus, and so the knife, what needs to be done is it needs to sever the trachea and the esophagus, okay? And it's a back and forth motion, and we've discussed that already, and that's the basics of Shkita, the very basics. Okay, now, the Gemara discusses the following scenario. I heat up the knife, white hot. The height of the knife now is white hot, and I cut with the knife. Now, you know, cutting with a hot knife is the expression, hot knife through butter. Right, so when I cut through with a hot knife, so obviously it's going to facilitate an easier cutting. But it's the Gemara over here deals with a very serious issue, which is that the act of shechita requires an act of serration. It requires an act of cutting, not burning. Meaning, you cannot burn the simanim; you have to cut the simanim. That is the definition of the act of shechita. So what the Gemara over here is teaching us, it's a big chiddush, is that when I have a hot white knife, this is called liban from the word lavan, right? It's white hot knife, and I cut with that knife, so what's cutting? So the Gemara tells us is that the actual knife is cutting. Chiduda kodem livuna. That when going forward, it's the edge of the knife which is cutting before the heat of the knife.
Cuts before it burns.
Perfect. Now the Gemara says, but wait a second. Isn't there a problem? Because as I'm, just imagine my fist being the pipe, and imagine my pencil over here being the knife. And the knife is white hot. And okay, great. It's not great imagery, but it'll work. And as I'm cutting through over here, so it's true that the edge of the knife is cutting before the heat is there, but as the knife now is going through the siman, don't we have the edges of the knife? And isn't the edges of the knife burning the pipe? So let's see, right? We could be talking trachea, we could be talking esophagus. Let's talk about esophagus over here. Okay? So I'm going through the esophagus. So isn't the sides of the knife going to be burning the esophagus? And so what? It's a big deal. Because as Rashi points out over here, and we're going to learn this later on in the Masechta, when it comes to the esophagus, any puncture of the esophagus, a mashehu, any puncture of the esophagus would render the animal trefa. So that means that as I'm shechting the animal with this white hot knife, so it's true that the edge of it is going to be hitting, making contact before the heat, but as it's passing through, so the sides of the knife are going to be burning the esophagus. Burning is tantamount to puncturing. It's really no difference. And so aren't you rendering the animal a trefa as you're going through with this knife? And the Gemara's response to that is, sorry, let me first read the question, the ha'ikat's dadan, don't you have the sides of the knife? And the Gemara's answer is, beis ha'shchita mirvach ravach. Answers the Gemara that as you're cutting through, it's opening up. And since it's opening up, it's allowing, right, it's actual expansion going on as you're cutting through, so therefore the sides of the knife do not actually make contact with the simanim as it's going through. Okay. Now, Tosus over here, top Tosus on the page, really important. Tosus over here points out, without that argument, meaning the Gemara, in order to allow cutting with the hot knife, says that there's an expansion as it's going through. Without that argument, basically what's going to happen is that the animal is going to be rendered a trefa. Now, Tosus points out that's a major chiddush. Because think about it. When I'm cutting through the pipe, so you could have made the argument that whatever I've cut now is shechted. Meaning you could just simply say that the edge of the knife, whatever part is being cut now, is a demarcation between this part that's been cut is shechted, and this part upcoming is not shechted. But the Gemara is clearly not entertaining that. What the Gemara is clearly saying is that even though I've cut through part of the pipe, nevertheless, the part that's already been cut is still subject to the rules of trefa. And it's only after I finish cutting both pipes, then and only then are the pipes no longer, the animal's considered now dead. But in the middle of the process, the pipes, the esophagus and the trachea, are still subject to being a trefa. Even the parts that I've cut already, even the part of the pipe that I've cut already is subject to being a trefa. Tosfos points out that's a major chiddush of the Gemara over here, but Tosfos says that's what the Gemara is teaching us as a chiddush. Okay. Ibailahu. Okay, now, bear with me. From here, fourth line down on Chesamad Aleph, until basically the bottom of the page where you see the two dots, the Gemara now is going to take us on a tangent. Okay, we're going to be spending, I'd say about 15 good minutes, maybe 20 good minutes, talking in the world of Tzaras, of Negayim. Okay, the Gemara is going to be here because we just discussed the halacha of shechting with a white hot knife. And so the Gemara now is going to take us into the world of Negayim, and it's really a tangent, but it's Torah. And even though it's not relevant, we don't deal with Nega nowadays, but still it's part and parcel of the body of Torah. It's Gufo Shel Torah. Now let's appreciate the following. First of all, right, we go to Shul and we read from Parshas. Parshas Tazria, so we go through the entire body of law of Tzaras of Negayim. Okay, there are a lot of details. So if you're learning, if you're reading the parsha carefully and you're learning Negayim, so you're in tune with all this. Otherwise, for the rest of us, it's just there's this thing called Tzaras. Okay, Tzaras is subdivided into many different types of Tzaras, meaning the malady of Tzaras. Right, the identification of the tzaras, the diagnosis of tzaras, comes in many different forms. There's something called se'eser, something called sepachas. Okay, those are your two basic types of tzaras. Then there are other types of tzaras, which so there's a tzaras called michva, and there's a tzaras called shchin. Okay, now, the basics in order to understand the Gemara, I'll take a step-by-step through the Gemara, but, okay, it's just a lot of information, so just bear with me. Okay, you could get burnt with you come into contact with a hot fire or a piece of coal or you touch the frying pan and you get a burn, right? If that burn expands into a white mark, and the hairs there turn white, and so it's very possible that that's the ras. Okay. If I come in contact with a fire and I burn myself with that, that's called a michva. Michva is a type of tzaras. Or, if I get hit, right? You know that when you get hit, you get whacked with a ball, right? It happens in baseball. So you get whacked with a ball, and that area that got hit all of a sudden starts puffing up, and you see it's getting red and it's inflamed. Okay. That's also heat, but heat not generated by a fire, by an external fire. Heat generated by the pressure and by the force, by inflammation. Okay, good. So that also can generate tzaras, again, with a white hair and with an expansion of that area. And so that also can turn into tzaras, and that's called shchin. Okay? We're used to the word shchin in the context of the makos, but okay, fine. So that's called shchin. All right, now, if you look in Parshas Tazria, you will see that the Torah dedicates two parshios, one to shchin, and one to Michva. Okay, see Parshas Tazria for that. Let's go through our Gemara over here. Ibai Lahu. Li Bein Shpud Vehikin Bo. Okay, so let's say I do the following. I heat up a hot stick, a hot rod, right? A poker. And I hit somebody with it. Good. So now I've done two things. Meaning I've hit him with both force and with heat. Okay, so vehikabo mishum shchin. I'm sorry. So ibalu liben shpud vehikabo. So I heat up a white rod, and I hit him with that hot white rod. So there are two things going on. I hit him with force and with heat. So how do we judge this in the world of negayim? What are we going to call this? Are we going to call this shchin? Are we going to call this mechva? So vehikabo mishum shchin nidon mishum mechva nidon. Okay, good. Okay, which category we're going to put it under? What is going to be proper diagnosis of this type of saras? Now, l'may nafkamina l'chedetanya. So now, the Gemara is over here going to be super methodical. Because in order to really appreciate this question, you need to know basic information, and the Gemara will do that. Give us step-by-step information in order to really appreciate what kind of question the Gemara is asking. So first of all, let's go over the following. Shchinu mechva mitamim b'shavua echad. So first of all, there's only 1 week of sequestering, 1 week of isolation. Meaning that we know that when it comes to tzaras, if you have tzaras, so you show it to the Kohen. Kohen basically draws a circle around the tzaras, puts you in quarantine. You sit there for a week, you come out. Now, if there's pisyon, if there's an expansion of the tzaras, so say, good, now you're a mitzar mukhlat. Okay, now you're going to have to go away until the tzaras goes away. Okay. However, what if it doesn't move from its spot? So if it's regular tzaras, when I say regular, I mean either se'is or sepachas, right, quote-unquote regular tzaras, you'll go to quarantine for a second week. Fine. However, if it's a tzaras that's generated by either heat or force, right, michva or shchin, so it's only 1 week of quarantine. If after that 1 week it didn't expand, so the Kohen says to you, check, you can go now. You can go home. Okay, so in the world of michva and shchin, there's only 1 week of quarantine. So that's rule number one. And when is the Kohen going to render you a Mitzorah? So, he's got to see white hair growing in the place where that wound was. And there's got to be an expansion after the course of a week. Okay, good. So far, Michven Shechin are the same thing. Meaning, one is generated by heat and the other one's generated by force, but in terms of halacha, they're basically the same thing. 1 week of quarantine, if after that 1 week there was an expansion of the area, of the affected area, and there was a white hair growing in that area, good. Kohen will say, you're a mitzara mukhlat, you're a definite mitzara. V'lama chilkan akasov, so good. So now that they're basically the same thing, why is there one parsha dedicated to mechva, and why is there another parsha dedicated to shchin? Answers the Gemara, lama she'ei mitzarf and zeim zeh. They are categorically different. They're not mitzarf one with the other. So that means that we know that in the world of saras, in order for it to be mitzarf, you have to have a minimum area of skin affected. What is that area called? It's called the gris, right? Which is about the area of a penny, approximately. Right, so the surface area of a penny, you need that much skin affected in order to be called tzaras. But it has to be a gris of one type of tzaras. So let's say on your body, you have a half a penny's worth of shchin, and right next to it, and it's contiguous, you have a half a penny's worth of mechva, that will not make you a mitzora. You need either a full area, full gris of shchin, or a full gris of mechva. You cannot make a combo of the two. So they are categorically not the same. Okay, Vitanya. We're almost done. We need more information. Okay? Almost. Ezu shchin ve'ezu mechva. So here the Mishnah basically teaches us basic differences in terms of diagnosis. How do I know it's mechva? How do I know it's shchin? So, ezu shchin ve'ezu mechva. So laka be'etz be'evim be'gefes. Be'cham etveria uvechol davish lobach ma'mach ma'sa'or. If I get hit with a stone, residue of olives, olive pits, Chamei Tveria, the springs of Tveria, v'chol davar shel ba'mach masa'or, even if they're hot items, but that heat was not generated by fire, la'asui evrami karo, and when we say, and that includes even natural lead that comes from the ground, and again, it's got a natural heat to it, but that doesn't matter. In the world of heat, we need heat generated by fire. Zehu shchin. All this falls under the category of shchin. So someone pegs you with a rock, and now you got a wound on account of it, and there's white hair growing in the room. You show it to the Kohen, and he draws a circle around it, and you're quarantined for a week, and that grows. Good. That's saras, but specifically, the saras of shchin.
Everything makes sense, except like because they cause trauma, like the rock and everything, but the water, it's very causing trauma.
Right. I don't. He got hit with a strong gush.
So Rick, I guess, distinguish between the two. You need history and physical example.
Correct.
Not just physical
example. Correct. Cohen is having a diagnosis. The Cohen is giving a diagnosis. So ezuhu mechva. So and now, right? When is the kohen going to render it a mechva? When is the diagnosis going to be a mechva? So nechva begachalas beremetz besid rosech begafsis rosech uvechol davar haba machmas haor. So the Mishnah tells us that you're hit with coals or remetz, hadash, or sid, lime that was heated in fire. I don't fully understand that, but that doesn't matter. Sid rosech, begaf sis rosech, another...
gypsum.
Yeah, I don't even know. Okay, whatever. Uvechol davar haba machmas haor. Anything that was heated by fire, lasui chame haor, okay, water that was heated in fire, so zuhi mechva, so that now falls under the category of mechva, and now the diagnosis, proper diagnosis of that would be mechva, and not shchin. V'tanya. Shchin u'mechva. Okay, now, still more information, okay? Because again, the Gemara presented a question, but in order to even appreciate the question, we need every single piece of information the Gemara gives us. The Gemara here does not waste a word. The Gemara is super... super organized in terms of just giving us bit by bit of information. Okay? So now know that we have something called Shechin and we have something called Mechva. They are two different types of Tzaras or subcategories of Tzaras. We know that they do not combine. We know the diagnosis of each of them. They're both based on heat, but one is the heat generated by force, otherwise what we call inflammation, and the other one is heat generated by an external fire, and that is mechva. If I have two of those, even if they're next to one another, even if they're contiguous on the surface area of the skin, if I do not have a gris worth of each one, I only have a gris as an aggregate total of the two of them, it does not render the person a mitzora. Okay, let's go on. There's more information. Vitanya. Shchin u'mechva, im shchin kodol ma'mechva, bato mechva sa shchin. Okay, last piece of information that we need to know. Let's say I have an affected area on the body. Okay, let's say someone threw a stone at me and hit me on my arm. And now I have in that area, right, shchin, right, in that area, a shchin wound. And then, subsequent to that, someone comes over with a coal and touches that very same area. So now I have a burn in that area. My luck is terrible. That's terrible luck. But now I have a burn in that area. In the world of Tzaras, so how do we diagnose it? The first or the second? In the world of Tzaras, we always go with the second. The latter is going to be viewed as its definition. So, if first I was hit with a rock in an area, and it looks like now a Tzaras area has blossomed beautifully in that area, and then I was hit with fire, or anything heated by the fire, so we're going to judge it by a fire wound. Mechve, not shchin. And the opposite is also true. If first I'm hit with something, with a coal, right, no, not hit by a coal, but if I touch coal, and now I have a burn, and now it looks like we have a tzaras area where that burn is, and now I got hit in that area, now I have an inflammation as a result of the force, so we're going to call that shchin, not mechva. Fine. Wait. Just stay with me. Now, v'hacha hechi dami kegon. Now, the Gemara over here says, now, we're gonna even pinpoint the case over here so you really understand why it's important to understand the significance of this question. Kegon dehava vechatzig rishchin meikara. Meaning, look, let's say on my arm I have a half a gris of shchin, unequivocally, right? Half a gris of a shchin wound, okay? Meaning it was generated by force, and it's an inflammation. And veli ben shpud vehika bo. Now, right next to it, somebody heats up a hot poker, a hot stick with a fire, and hits me right next to that affected area, okay? Venafak bechati gris acher, and now, growing right next to that one area, I have another area, which is a chati gris. So I have two contiguous areas. One is definitely shchin, we know that for a fact, and the other one is caused by being hit with a hot poker. Okay. Now, chavta kodem ba'asli havlo mevat olay lechavta ba'avle shchin u'mechva v'lo mitstarfin odilma havle kadim ba'asli chavta mevat olay lehavla v'havle shchin u'shchin u'mitstarfin. How do I view being hit with a hot poker? Is it first the force, then the heat? Which means that in the world of Tsaras, we call that mechva. Or is it heat, followed then by force? Which now in the world of Tsaras, we call shchin. And that's super important in this particular scenario, because when they are next to one another, so I need to know, do I combine the two or do I not combine the two? I know I have a half a gris of shchin, that's a given. Next to it, I was hit with a hot poker rod. So do I call that shchin next to shchin or shchin next to mechva? And is it combined for a total of one gris of tsaras? So the Gemara says, Tashma. So the Gemara says, look, I know that's a nega discussion, and I know we're learning chulin right now, but I know the answer based on the first halacha that we learned on today's daf, which is Damar Rabbi Zera Mashmo Liben Sakam Shacha Bashkita Sakshera Chiduda Kodem Livona. Because look what we learned the first halacha today in the daf. We learned that if I shecht an animal with a hot knife, so what do we say first? First it cuts, then it burns. And in fact, again, we learned that it doesn't burn because the area that it cut, it actually expands.
Okay. Very different. It's a different concept.
Good. So the Gemara is about not a different concept. It's actually a different phenomenon.
The thing is using, instead of supporting our Gemara, it's using our Gemara to try to prove a point, but they're like so different from each other.
Okay, so the Gemara is going to make that distinction in just a moment. So the Gemara says, you see from the case of Shechita, that first pressure comes and then heat. So when you get hit with something that's hot, so the way we view it is that first the pressure of the object comes, then the heat of the object follows up. Okay, good. And that's what the Gemara wants to try to prove from Shechita. So again, it's an extraordinarily intricate question in the world of Tsaras. You first have to know the difference between mechva and shchin. You have to know that in the world of mechva and shchin, we always follow the secondary cause. And so now we want to know, basically in our case, when you're hit with an item that has both, which one is considered the secondary cause? In the world of shchita, we actually want the pressure before the heat, right? Because in shchita, you need an act of cutting. But you do it. But that's fine. That's good. But in at least from shchita, we learn the order of events. First pressure, then heat. So we're going to take that same idea now and apply it to tsaras and say, okay, same thing over here. First pressure, then heat. So in the world of tsaras, how do we judge it? It sounds like we're going to be judging it like mechva. So the Gemara says, chidut shani. In two short words, the Gemara Ben makes exactly your point. The cases are not the same. When I'm cutting something, so there we could say, look, it's when I'm hitting him, I'm not hitting him with a blunt item. I'm hitting him, I'm cutting with a sharp item. So there, you're moving through the neck. There I'll say that the pressure is generated before the heat, because I'm going through. But when I'm hitting somebody with a blunt item, and that item is hot, there I can make an argument and say, look, there's a lot of surface area that I'm hitting him with. And I'm not going through the person. I'm actually just touching. It's not a touch, but it's obviously it's hard contact. But still, I'm hitting him with a lot of surface area. There we can make the argument that the heat came before the pressure. So the Gemara says the two cases are not comparable, and you cannot learn out one halacha from another. So, okay, good. Tashma. The Gemara says, how about this? Consider the following. I guess this is a brisa. The Gemara is not helping me over here in terms of it's a Mishnah, it's a brisa. Okay. Li ben shpud vihikim bo, vihika bo, nidu misha mechvasesh. Oh, okay, good. Pretty much exactly what we wanted to see. I heat up a hot stick, a hot poker. I hit somebody with it. So, the brisa says, mechvasesh. Okay. Even though it sounds like two things just happened. I hit him, meaning that there's pressure, which will cause an inflammation, and it was hot. So, how do we judge it? Mechvaseish. Okay, let's see if we know our tsaras well now. What happened first? Trick question. What happened first? What happened first is the pressure of the hit, and then afterwards comes the burn from the heat of the poker. So what do you see? Ama chavta kadim. So the Gemara says, you see that when you do that, the pressure came first, then the heat, because the Braisa said to you, hit him with, you're going to judge it with, the diagnosis is going to be mechvazesh. So the Gemara says, Hasam Nami, the Barza Mivrez, the Hainu Chidur. So the Gemara, again, in order to be argumentative, and in the interest of intellectual pursuit, says, maybe in that case over there, you didn't actually hit him. Maybe over there, you kind of just touched him with the rod. Now, it's difficult because if you read it again, it says, Liben Shpur Vehikabo. Now, usually, Hikabo means that you hit him. You strike him. But what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that you didn't strike him, not with force, but you kind of hit him, you kind of tapped him with it. And so, of course, we're going to judge it with Mechvasesh, because the only thing that caused it was the fire, and not the pressure, not the force. Okay, good. So, again, that was a tangent, okay, and it took us into the world of Saras. Good. We're now slightly more educated in the world of Saras, knowing the difference between Mechva versus Shechin, understanding that in terms of diagnosis, we look at the second cause, not the first cause. Okay, good.
Rabbi Shulman, don't we find Shechin simply as a disease in Tanakh? I believe not one.
Right, and Makos, and the Makos, we have Shechin also.
Yeah,
right. Correct.
It's a disease.
Correct, but at the same time, also it's Saras. It's a form of Saras. Okay. Good. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Bar Avua.
Some of them come without history, right?
Huh?
Some of the Sarat comes without any history in the back of, before,
Yeah, in other words, right. Seis and Sapachas. Seis and Sapachas kind of just spreads up on its own. It comes up on its own.
That's the scary one.
Right. That's,
like a rash.
Like my eczema. No warning. Okay. All right. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu. Asak shavar is kochav imito l'shchol ba v'asol achtoch ba basar. Sorry. V'asol achtoch ba basar. Yeah, period. Okay, good. All right, now, I'm just going to bombard you now. A lot of halacha. Okay? Stay with me. Shechting now with a knife of Avodah Zarah. Now, when I say knife of Avodah Zarah, I mean literally a knife of Avodah Zarah. Meaning, a real idolater, not the word we use for non-Jew, right? But like a real idolater. Somebody who's involved in idol worship. So, one of the things that he used is a knife. He has an animal. He has got his little god in front of him, lowercase g, obviously. He has a little god in front of him, and he wants to offer a sacrifice to his god. So he takes a knife, and he shechs an animal for his god. Okay, here you go, God. Here's, right? And you shech the animal. That knife that he used now is called Tashmishei Avodah Zarah. Now, the halacha is very clear. We learned in Avodah Zarah. Tashmishei Avodah Zarah. It's aser. You can't get any benefit from it whatsoever. No benefit whatsoever from such a knife. So now, watch carefully, because this is kind of shocking information. So counterintuitive. The Gemara says that you could take this knife and you could shech the animal with this knife. Right, meaning you could do shechita with that knife. Now that sounds weird, right? Let's process that information for a moment. However, at the same time, you can't cut meat with that knife. Cutting meat with that knife, that serves as a benefit. So the Gemara explains both points. Lishchobo, so to shech with this knife, mekalkohu, mutter lishchobo, mekalkohu. So I could shech with this knife because the act of shechita is a destructive act. Lachtoch ba basar misakenhu. Cutting meat is a constructive act, and therefore that would rent that would be benefit from that knife, and I'm not allowed to get benefit from that knife. Now Rashi explains even better. Okay, what does that mean? Shechita is a destructive act. Shechita is not a destructive act. Meaning, I'm now allowed to eat the meat of the animal. Prior to the shechita, I was not allowed to eat the meat of the animal. How in the world can we call shechita a destructive act? So Rashi says, everyone put on your accountant hats now. Rashi is going to be Mekalkel Hu. Mekalkel Hu, second wide line on the page. Rashi says, look at cost analysis. Okay? We're now accountants. Okay, look at cost analysis. Because what's going to happen is that, look at the animal alive versus dead. Okay, let's take out our balance sheet. When the animal is alive, so Rashi says, "Ve'enzu anasha bechayeh yudama merubim alachar shechita shebechayeh." While the animal is alive, he omedes l'gimel dvarim. So you could put three things on your balance sheet: legado vlados, Okay. It can produce more animals,
right,
assuming it's a female. Right, even if it's a male.
It's a male.
Yeah. So the ulecharisha, it could plow your fields for you. Ulachila, and eventually you're going to be able to eat it.
Yeah.
It's funny, by the way, in terms of the balance sheet. I'm not sure if I would put that on the live section. Okay, but at least there's potential for it to be eaten. Okay, so in other words, as a live animal, so there's a lot of benefit to you. As a shechted animal, it's only good for one thing, right? Dinner tonight, right? And maybe tomorrow night as well, depending on which family you are. But I'm saying, but that's it. So when it's so interesting, when you look at Hana'a, you have to really do cost analysis.
Right.
And so since the animal is worth more to you alive than it is dead, shechting the animal serves as a kilkul. Okay.
That's benefit to the Mizbeah.
Well, I know, but we're talking about, this is chulin right now. We're just talking about you and me eating it. Okay. So again, it's a fascinating chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara is not going to contest, meaning this is it. When you look at Hana'a, you have to do a cost analysis, and if it's worth more to you alive than dead, then shechting is considered an act of kilkul, and therefore it's not considered Hana'a. Cutting the meat, on the other hand, right, that's only benefit. Meaning I have a large piece of meat. What good is a large piece of meat? I got to cut into pieces, right, either to sell or to eat it. Either way, cutting there is a benefit. Lachtuch, while we're back in the Gemara, Basta Misakin. Amar Rava, so Rava says, based on what I just explained to you, so sometimes shechting is a benefit, sometimes cutting the meat is a hindrance, right? Okay. Is it detriment? That's better. So Pamim Shashochit Asr B'Misukenis. Let's say, for example, the animal's about to die. Now, misukenis is so confusing because what's the difference between misukenis and trefa? Misukenis just simply means animal's on its checking on its way out. There's no puncture of the esophagus. There's no. It's not trefa, right? Misukenis just simply means like all living things. It's just dying, sick. It's dying. Okay, you can eat such an animal. The animal's totally fine to eat. Right, you'll see this term come up again and again in chulin. Just get used to it. It's misukenis. It's just dying. That's all.
But that doesn't imply that the trefa.
No.
But you said everything that was in, because everything 12 months is trefa.
That's not true. That's not accurate. Okay. And if I said that, I take it back.
Okay.
No. trefa simply means that there is a that there. We're going to learn third parak 18 trefas that has a. Actual an empirical puncture or severance of one of the internal organs.
Right? So the animal has been damaged in some way, but it is impending death in 12 months.
And as a result of that, there's going to be an impending death.
So there's really
right. Misukenis just means it's just the way of the world. It's dying. Right? It's just dying.
Maybe it's
so bim misukenis. So then you can't shecht it, right? Because think of cost analysis. As the animal's alive right now. Well, but it's dying, so it can't. You can't plow with it. It's dying. It's a dying animal. So right now, the best thing for you to do with this animal is shecht it before it dies, so you can eat it. So you see, shechting over there is only going to be a benefit. Okay, so then I can't use my avodah zara knife and shecht with such a knife. And sometimes. Cutting the meat of an animal with this avodah zara knife would be mutter when the atmei dekaimen lekurbana. Sometimes, especially when you want to bring over a nice gift. Now, in our social mores, you bring over a nice bottle of wine. But wouldn't you love it if somebody came over to your house for Shabbos and offered you a nice cut of meat? That'd be exciting. Right. I'm not hinting. Not hinting over here. But in other words, you have a nice, nice big cut of meat. That's impressive. What happens when you cut it up into small little pieces of meat? Right? Hamburger. Okay. It's not as impressive looking. There, in such a scenario, if you can imagine, cutting would be a detriment, not a benefit.
Why would you
put ourselves through this whole knife by dog?
Just,
why are we?
We wouldn't want to use it anyway. But the point the Gemara made, that the understanding of what benefit is versus detriment and cost analysis, that's a big deal. Meaning you're right. Who would want to use the knife to begin with? But understanding hana versus no hana, okay, that's a big deal. Now the Gemara goes on to the next part, which is v'tepikle mishum shamnunis diisura. Good. We've dealt with the fact that the knife was used for avodah zarah. And we've dealt with the fact that the knife is, you're not allowed to benefit from that knife. Good, and then we went through our whole discussion of cost analysis. The Gemara says, okay, now can we get real for just a moment? This knife was used to shecht a non-kosher animal. Okay? Meaning the guy used it. Okay, good. So the knife is treif, what we call treif. Treif, I'm using the word in a very loose terminology. The knife has got fat and meat and blood of a non-kosher animal, both on it and in it. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to know, good, I got through the whole discussion of Isuri Hana, but how can you shech with such a knife? But typically, Mishum Shanin is the Isura. So the Gemara proposes one answer, top of the next, Amud Bechadasha. So answer number one is that we're talking about a brand new knife never used before. What? A brand new knife that never was used before? So how can you say that the knife is a knife of Avodah Zarah? If it were never used before, So how? In what way are we calling this Tashmishe Avodah Zarah? Now this requires us to remember what we learned back in Avodah Zarah. Tashmishe Avodah Zarah. Can I earmark something as Tashmishe Avodah Zarah? So answer is going to be no. Meaning by Avodah Zarah itself, subject to a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmoa, whether or not I could point to an item and say, I plan to use this for Avodah Zarah. But for Tashmishe Avodah Zarah, anything that will be used in service of Avodah Zarah, it will not get any status until I actually use it. And that's not... Right? And that's not subject to a machlokes. That's according to everybody. So the first answer is not a good answer. The first answer of the Gemara is, it's a brand new knife that was just simply earmarked for use of Avodah Zarah, but that's nothing. The Gemara makes exactly that point. Chadasha, Bein LeRabbi Shmuel, Bein LeRabbi Akiva, Misham She Avodas Kochavim Hein, or Misham She Avodas Kochavim Eina Masurin Achi Ovdu. It's nothing. Status-wise, it's nothing until I actually use it. Okay, so we're going to pass on that first answer because the first answer is just simply not tenable. So, Ibai Yisema, Deposik Begavza, Lavodas Kochavim. Okay, so good. Answer number two, pretty straightforward. Yeah, you know how this is a knife of Avodah Zarah? Because we used it to cut wood in order for the Avodah Zarah. Okay, Tashmishi Avodah Zarah. And it has no treif on it because it wasn't used for meat, it was just used for wood. Or, or, says the Gemara, it was an old one, but it was kosher. And how do we kosher? We kosher it with fire. Now, very quickly, go back to Chesam and Aleph, and Tosfos over here is bothered by a simple question, meaning, we have a non-kosher knife, right? And the Gemara says, and you want to use it, so what do? You kosher it. The Gemara says, how do you kosher it? Fire. Burn it in fire.
It should be boiled.
Right. It wouldn't Haggala be enough? Wouldn't boiling it be enough? And this is exactly what bothers Tosfos on Chesam et Aleph, on the bottom of the Amud. And Tosfos says, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that if you have a knife and I want to use it for Pesach, okay, for Pesach, Chametz on Pesach, I have a knife, I want to use it on Pesach, so what do? The Gemara in Pesachim says, boil it. Take the knife and throw it in boiling water and good, now the knife is good for Pesach. So, Tosfos notes the simple discrepancy between our Gemara here in Chulin and the Gemara in Pesachim, where our Gemara in Chulin says, if you have a treif knife and you want to use it, so fire. Right? You gotta light it with fire. Light the knife on fire. You know what I mean. Take fire, take the knife, put it next to fire, let the knife get glowing white hot, and good, now it's kosher. So which process should we use? So
Libun versus burn with Hagala.
Right, so Libun versus Hagala. Our Gemara in Chulin says Libun, Gemara in Pesachim says Hagala. Rabbi Natam offers two answers. Right? Two very different answers. One answer that Rabbi Natam offers, again, I'm just paraphrasing, right? We don't have the time to go through Tosfos right now. Answer number one says that there's a difference between Chametz on Pesach and an actual treif animal, right? Nevela meat. This is going to be interesting. We normally assume that chametz is more chamer. That's normally what we say. Yes and no. Chametz on Pesach is more chamer, but on Pesach itself. If I'm kashering the night before Pesach, what am I kashering? Something that right now is kosher, something that's not usher. So in the world of kashering a knife for Pesach, so all I'm doing is getting rid of the chametz, but I'm getting rid of it before Pesach, fine. So it's a hetera bala. It absorbed heter. So therefore, hagala is all you need. But over here, where we're talking about mamish treif on the knife, right? Non-kosher meat, right? Meat that was shechted by the goy for his avodah zara, and he didn't do a proper shechita, meaning we're going to assume, and there's real tarfus on the knife, there's nevela on the knife, so there you need to do libun. Okay, that's answer number one of Rabbeinu Tam. Answer number two of Rabbeinu Tam, that's a fundamental answer, meaning that really speaks to fundamental differences between chametz on Pesach versus Isser. Answer number two is an ukimta answer. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that in answer number two, maybe different types of knives that we're talking about. Maybe the knife in question over here was actually used in a fire scenario. And we know in the world of kashering, kibolo kach polto. The way it's absorbed is the way you got to get out. So our knives that we're discussing over here are big knives. Knives that were actually used in fire, meaning the goy, when he shechted the avodah zara, he got some fire going on next to the shechita, and it was used in an actual fire, so the way to expunge the taste is with a fire.
Masha ain't. He was the knife before he shechted. Like we're talking about.
He describes shesolim ben basar, right? They roasted the meat in a fire with this knife. Then maybe the knife was used to.
Like a spoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Gemara in Pesachim is discussing small knives that are not used in an actual fire, but are used to, you know, to cut the meat in the kitchen. Okay. Another proposed answer by Rabbeinu Tam, explaining the discrepancy between our Gemara and the Gemara in Pesachim. Good, let's go back now to our Gemara. Itmar. Okay, we're on Chesamid Beis. Okay. Chesamid Beis. Hashochet Pesachim Sha'ov Deko Chavim. Okay? I shecht with a knife that belonged to a guy. Okay. Let's make sure that we understand what we're about to learn. Okay. In the world of cutting with a knife. So, okay, we're going to throw around a lot of ideas right now. But let's just go with the basics. There could be no absorption of taste, no transfer of taste without heat. Right? In the world of kashrus, the only way that taste can jump from one place to another place is heat. Heat is the medium in which there's going to be transfer of taste. So that means that if I have a non-kosher knife, okay, and it's cold, and I cut an apple with that non-kosher knife, right, and the non-kosher knife is clean, and there's nothing on the surface there of the non-kosher knife, okay. So in other words, where was there a transfer of taste? Okay, now there's a concept called duch de sakina. Maybe the friction that's caused by the knife cutting through, maybe that would cause a transfer of taste. Okay, so it's open for discussion. You're going to see the concept coming up in just a moment. That's fine.
The heat has to be like yes or that.
But absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So now what we're going to be discussing is the following. I'm cutting an animal. What we call shechita, right? Now, an animal is a warm-blooded creature, okay? We don't eat lizards. We don't eat alligators, okay? We eat warm-blooded animals, okay? So when I'm doing the act of shechita, so the question's going to come up, and the Gemara is really not going to resolve it, but at least we appreciate the question. The question's going to come up, is that heat? Is that considered enough heat? The warm area of the neck that I'm just exposing with this knife, by cutting through it, is that going to be considered enough heat to create blia, to create a transfer of taste? Good? Now, temperature of a human body is, right, 98 degrees, thereabouts. Okay, temperature of a warm-blooded cow, okay, you can check it up at home. I do not know. But let's assume about the same, they're about the same, 98 degrees. Okay. Now, as Ben points out, usually when we say you need enough heat to transfer, so Ben accurately points out, you need yad soledes bo, right? Which we assume is somewhere in the area of about 110 degrees, 120 degrees, somewhere in those parts. We talk yad soledes bo in terms of Shabbos because obviously it defines bishul for us on Shabbos by liquids. Okay. So if I'm shechting an animal with a knife, the question on the table is that warm-blooded animal going to be generating enough heat where there's going to be a transfer of taste? You must add to this discussion...
Cow is 100 to 103 degrees Fahrenheit.
Beautiful. That's instant access information. That's great. You must add to this question the fact that not only is there 100 to 103 degrees of heat of the animal, but also duchda sakina. You're also running a knife through the neck of the animal, and there's friction generated by that as well, and that is also part of the discussion. Good. Now let's go through the Gemara. Itmar hashochet b'sakin shalav dikocham Rav amar kolev. So Rav says, So. Not a big uh-oh, small uh-oh. It's not the end of the world. The shechita's fine. Shechita's fine. But the area where you cut, the actual area where you cut, you got to peel off a layer of that, of the surface area of the area which you cut. Klipa, the smallest amount, just a thin layer, just a shell of a layer. Okay. Rabba Bar Bachana Amra Madiach. And Rabba Bar Bachana says, no, you don't even need that. Just rinse off the area and that's all you need. Okay. Now, what's the machlokas here? Meaning, according to Rav, there was just the smallest transfer of taste from the knife into the area of where you shechted. According to Rabba Bar Bachana, there was simply no transfer of taste. Just rinse off the area and you're fine.
Or if there's no transfer, you have to wash it.
Because there's going to be a little bit of schmaltz, and it's a scientific term, a little bit of fat on the knife, and so that fat that was on the knife now is on the surface area where you cut, so you want to rinse it off. You don't want to eat that. Okay? Lema baha kamifligi. So the Gemara now suggests, I know what the machlokas is, or at least I'm going to propose what the machlokas is. Marsa v'beis ha-shechita tzone, marsa v'beis ha-shechita roseach. This is exactly the question which I raised, which I knew because, I was a little prepared for this morning. So it's exactly the question which I raised. Do we view the area of Yushechted, right, that Makam HaShechita, do we view that area as hot or cold? 100 degrees, which is the body temperature of a live cow, is that enough heat to generate enough heat to generate transfer of taste? Or no, it's not enough heat. You need more heat than that. The Gemara says, that's the machlokas. So we're kind of right on the border of yatzo lettuce bowl. So the Gemara says, lo, dekul ema beis ha-shechita roseach. Who? So the Gemara says, no. Both agree the beis ha-shechita is a hot area. Okay, so if it is a hot area, so I understand the position that there was some transfer of taste. I do not understand the position, or I need to explain the position, that there's no transfer of taste. If it's considered a makom roseach, if it's considered hot, so why isn't there a transfer of taste? Now I'm going to try to explain this, and I don't fully understand this, but we're going to give a go at it. So mandam are called shapir. So the Gemara says, look, the one that says that you need to do klipa, you need to actually peel off a layer of the makom hashchita. I understand because there was a transfer of taste, not a lot, but enough. So appealing would be fine. But if rinsing is all you need, why? The Gemara explains, I did the treatise imanim lafuki dam lo bale. Okay. Because when you shecht, think about what's happening. Right? Okay. Anyone actually see a live shechita?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Especially for those of us who
only
do
on YouTube.
Right, do kaparos.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
When you shecht, so because there was blood pressure, so when you open, you're opening up now arteries, and there is blood gushing out, and so even though there are basically are two forces equal but opposite, meaning yes, the area is hot, and yes, that usually would mean that there's a transfer of taste from the knife to the base of shechita. But at the same time, in an opposite direction, there is also blood, right, pressuring, coming out of the neck of the animal, almost blocking, not almost, actually blocking the taste of the knife from going into the Beis HaShechita. If you will, to give an analogy, which is just an analogy, it's a one-lane street, right? Cars can either go one way or not the other. But they can't, in other words, we don't have enough for two directions. So it is there. It's roseach, it's hot, and there normally would be a transfer of taste, but because blood is rushing out as you're shechting, so consequently the taste of the knife can't go in.
Garden hose. You have to get a knife and cut garden hose with water running from it. Water is going to gush out.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Beis Ika da Amre," or we can go the other direction. The Kule Amma Beis Hashchita Tzone. Meaning, let's argue that the Beis HaShechita Tzone. Meaning, clearly, the Gemara would like to leave this in a state of, I don't know. Clearly. Meaning, I don't know if the Beis HaShechita is hot or cold. So, I'm going to explain the debate going both ways. So, we just explained the Machlokas, assuming the Beis HaShechita is hot. Now, I'm going to explain it based on the fact that the Beis HaShechita is cold. Man Dama Midech Shapir, so good. So the position that all you need to do is just rinse off the surface area and that's fine. I understand that. It's cold. There was no transfer of taste. Damar Kolef, Man Damar Kolef, how do you explain that you need to do klipa? How is there a transfer of taste? Especially considering that the Beis HaShechita is not hot, but rather it's cold. Agav Duch de Sakina Bala. Yeah. Pressure of the knife. Pressure of the knife creates friction. Friction equals heat. So even though the Beis HaShechita is cold, but because you're cutting with a knife and that's producing friction, and friction is heat, so therefore that is how there generates a transfer of taste. Okay, good. So what the Gemara has done for us, it's a lot of halacha that comes out of these small lines, short lines of Gemara, is that the Gemara, first of all, on the issue, is the Beis HaShechita hot or cold? The Gemara says an unknown. Right? We're not sure. And the Gemara goes and basically plays both sides of that question. If it's hot, so then we understand transfer of taste. How do you explain the position no transfer of taste? Because the blood is rushing out, the pressure of the blood coming out, stopping the taste of the knife from coming in. If we assume that the makom hashechita is cold, I also can explain both positions. Because how do I explain no transfer of taste? Because it's cold. How do I explain transfer of taste? Because duch de sakina, pressure of the knife. Okay, I'd like to, let's stop. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, a lot more halakha l'maisa comes up. We'll discuss more. I'll try to point out the main parts of Tosfos as we go through tomorrow's daf as well. Okay, we'll have to pause over here.